Now we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to just read one verse in that chapter. And it's the verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And here Paul says something that I want you to take a note of and learn from. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, for us to understand just exactly what it is that Paul is saying, there's one or two terms here we need to examine and unlock, as it were, and come to a proper understanding of them. The word heresy is normally used of erroneous doctrine, false teaching. It's a word that is derived from the storming of a city and the taking over of that city by outsiders, by aliens, by invaders. And there was amongst the people of God at Corinth those who were storming, as it were, the citadel of truth and trying to take it over. And as a city is taken over by outsiders, everything in that city changes, doesn't it? The whole regime is different. And that's what happens, of course, a church that's taken over by heresy. It becomes an entirely different place, an entirely different entity to what it was when it was governed by the Word of God. It's very closely related, this word heresy, to divisions. As you can imagine, in the case of an invasion, there is division. For instance, when France was invaded by the Germans in the Second World War, there was a division amongst the French people. There were some who welcomed the Germans and stood in with them and cooperated with them, and there were others who didn't. In fact, following the war, the overthrowing of Nazism and the liberation of France, there were a lot of very nasty scenes when those who sided with the Allies and who were now victorious began to take vengeance on those who had cooperated with the Nazis. There was division. There was division. Now in the church at Corinth, there were divisions. You find that mentioned in the very first verses of the epistle. Paul was writing because of the divisions that there were amongst the people there. And he's putting it down to the heresies that had sprung up. Visions come about when the mind and the heart has been taken captive by error and by falsehood and begins to cause the mind and the heart to think differently from what it had done until that time. Look at the verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. The errors that had crept in and had been embraced were causing division. The word division there, by the way, means a rent, a tear. You can check out the same word as it appears in Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 16. Just look it up. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent, the tear, the division is made worse. So this was the state of the church as a result of false teaching coming in. It brought division. It brought division. Because these are days that more and more we are going to encounter false doctrine, and more we are going to find the doors of the church forced, and they're coming into the church, aye, and into the pulpit. that which is contrary to what is set forth in the Word of God. Because that's going to be the case, it's good that we just take a note of what it is God has to say to us here. The first thing I want to say is this, that the presence of what I will call alien notions and conduct are very distressing to believers. Now, we as a congregation, going right back to the very earliest days, we knew poverty. We knew poverty. I remember meetings when this original building here was being built and money had run out. And men who were associated with the infant work, they used to meet in the old Feglish Hall and they would discuss this problem. And the discussing really came down to how much are you going to dig out of your pocket. And there wasn't much surplus money about then. But men used to say, well, I'll buy so many bags of cement. And somebody else would say, well, I'll get a tipper lorry full of sand. And somebody else would say, well, I'll buy so many blocks. And so the work was caused to continue. But let me tell you, that was not hurtful or stressful. We went away from that meeting in which there was free acknowledging of our poverty. Joyful. Glad. Glad. And there were men there who really had never been involved in church work before. And this was all new to them. But as a result of getting saved, they were catapulted by God right into the front line. And they were striving, I was going to say within their means, but it had probably been true to say beyond their means, to make sure the work continued. So God's people often encounter poverty, but it's not distressing. No, what distresses us is false doctrine and the division that comes from false doctrine. There you have the working of the devil. God's people do not welcome false doctrine and the consequences of it. Do you remember the reaction of the servants in the parable that the Lord Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13? He told quite a number of parables there, but if you look it up, you'll come on the parable of the tares and the wheat. And in verse 28, when the tares are discovered by the servants of the man who had sown wheat in his field, it says in verse 28, then the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? It was distressing to see the tares in the field of wheat. And the natural impulse was, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. And there is a spirit of rejection amongst God's people when falsehood comes in and threatens the unity of the church. There's a desire to see it done away with. And the tares rooted up. It reminds me also of the reaction of one of David's mighty men when at the rebellion of David's son Absalom, David had to flee out of Jerusalem. As he was fleeing out of Jerusalem, there was a rascal. I'll call him that, for that's what he was, called Shimei. And as David was going down the road, he ran along, as it were, the edge of the hill, cursing David, indicating how glad he was to see this happening to him. And he called him a lot of vile names. And Abishai, one of David's mighty men, he didn't like it. I have to say, I concur with him 100%. Listen to what Abishai said. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse 9. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king. Zeruiah was David's aunt. And boy did she raise a family of warriors. Her sons were hard men. And here's one of them. He said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his hand. How would have put an end to it? Once and for all. He wasn't going to go over and say, now please, shush, don't say those naughty things. Be quiet. No, he was going to He was going to silence them and silence them permanently, because God's people don't like the voice of division, the voice that cries out against our King and mocks him and makes little of his law. We don't like it. They don't like it. It is a great vexation to hear things contrary to the Word of God being taught amongst God's people. Listen to Paul, another of my heroes. Galatians, the chapter 1. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. This is the source of the trouble. There were those who had come into the church and they were trying to pervert the gospel. Alter it, change it, make it out what it wasn't. And as a result, they were troubling believers in Galatia. If you read on to the chapter 5, Paul mentions them again. The verse 17, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. There's a bit of a vitii here at work, isn't there? Do you know what that word cut off means? Amputate. That's the underlying Greek word. I'd like to amputate those who trouble you, Paul says. I tell you, men and women, it is a source of great distress. I think we can stand anything more easily. Abuse from the world, poverty, sickness, than we can the ranks of the church being infiltrated and division arising as a result. It's a great distress. It's a great distress. That's one of the reasons why the whole Joel Biggie issue is a distress. He's a divider of the brethren. He's doing that which is contrary to the practice of God's people up to now. And there are those who say this is wrong. But then, of course, there are those who welcome these changes and this softening, this easing of the restraints, as it were, and this slackening of the law. There are those who welcome that. And there's division. And it's a great grievance. It's a great grievance to the people of God. Let me secondly point out to you that in the wonderful wisdom and providence of God, even heresies are made to serve a purpose. Now, read the verse again. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now that phrase, there must be, does not mean that God has ordained falsehood and caused it to come into the church in order to accomplish his purpose. No. But when Paul says there must be, he means there must be because of human nature. There must be because of the way we are made. We're flawed. We have blemishes. And we're inclined to be easily deceived and to go astray. And as a result, division. Division. That's what Paul means here. And yet, God is pleased to make good use of those divisions that spring up from falsehood entering the boundaries of the church. The first thing I'd say is that divisions amongst us identify the deceivers. When there comes a division, you can find the source of it. I remember a man years ago, when a tree would have been sawn down, it was the old cross cut. A lot of hard work. And then when it was tossed, it would have been cut up with the cross cut into certain lines. And if it was a big lump of a tree, they used to get wedges. And they'd begin to hammer the wedge into the sawn up piece of wood. And you could hear the timber beginning to creak and to crack as it split. And as it split, you could easily see the cause of it, the wedge that was being driven in. It was driving the tree apart, the log apart. And in God's work, when divisions come, you can find the source. And when you find the source, you'll identify the deceivers, those who have come to do harm. So, in a church where there are mere professing Christians, those who are not really saved, when division comes, they'll side with the wrong. They'll identify themselves. And so, it serves that purpose, doesn't it? It flushes out those who are not really supportive of the work and of the gospel. And then again, it does something more. It reveals who the genuine believers are. They're the ones who rush to the side of truth. When the split appears, they're standing on the side of Christ. Let's read the verse again. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That word approved is a Greek word that is linked with the discovering of what is genuine coinage and what is not. We today still have forgeries. I stood it's a wee while ago now, a couple of weeks ago, up at the hospital, feeding a £1 coin into the parking meter. And now the parking meter would not take it. I talked to the guy on it. He said, would you try the other one? So away I went again and fed in and came to this £1 coin. No, it wouldn't take it. It was a false £1 coin. Don't ask me how it was the machine knew it. I don't have a clue. But it would not take it. It would not take it. I didn't put it on the offering, by the way, to get rid of it. But this is what the word approved is linked with. The distinguishing of that which is true coinage in the old Greek society and that which is false or base metal. And God uses this term here to say that when there's division, those who are true, those who are genuine, you'll be able to discover them. In James chapter 1 and the verse 12 we read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trial. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Man is tested, he's tried, and as a result of the trial, there's proof that he loves the Lord, and he'll get the reward. And I tell you, when division comes in amongst God's people, as it came to the church at Corinth, it proved who was genuine. They were clinging to the old ways, clinging to the old truths. They weren't carried away with new notions. They weren't excited about the thought of a liberalizing of the standards of God and of holiness. No, they were grieved that such a thing should be happening, and they were clinging to the old ways. And the test proved where they stood. They were proved to be genuine. When error arises, the genuine believer will always orientate toward the truth and will reject the lie. So that's the purpose that Paul here is saying. Heresy serves amongst the people of God. When heresy comes in, it'll show up the false and it'll show up the true. Listen to what John said. 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 19. There had been division amongst those to whom John is writing. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Here's a division. And it served the purpose of exposing those who were not really of God's people. Now I have to say this. There are times when those who really are God's people can be deceived and being deceived, they act as if they weren't God's people. And thinking of John Mark was a true child of God, but he got carried away and he forsook the work of God. And for the time, he was sidelined and we know nothing about him. But later on, at the close of Paul's writings, we hear of him speaking affectionately of John Mark, so there had been a coming back again to the Lord. Yes, as a general rule, divisions will show up the genuine and show up the false. Though, as I say, for a time, there may be occasions when even the true are deceived and are carried away, but they don't remain in the camp of the false. They come back again, like John Mark. They come back again. Paul said to the elders, church at Ephesus, we're reading Acts chapter 20, the verse 30. And it's interesting, in the early church, when we think of things as being at their purest, a time when the power of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon his people as it never was before, and I don't believe ever has since. And yet, at that time, Paul says unto the elders at Ephesus, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. There's the division. And the division serves the purpose of good by drawing away those who were not really the Lord's. They followed these deceivers, became disciples of the deceivers. And that shows where their heart really lay. We see a pattern of how this serves truth, these heresies and divisions. How things that we wish would never happen can nevertheless serve truth. We see a pattern of that in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. The chapter 2, the verse 21 reads, where God is speaking to Israel. After that period when Joshua has led them, and Israel has not been faithful to God altogether, and driven out the enemy and overthrown the enemy as God had commanded them to do. And so he says here in the verse 21 of Judges chapter 2, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them, that is the nations, the heathens, the Canaanites, through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Now God, in his revealed will, had wanted all the Canaanites destroyed and wiped out, but Israel failed to do that. God in his overruling providence is going to make use of those Canaanites who remain amongst the people of Israel. God says, I'm going to use them to test you. I'm going to use them to test you. Will you listen to them? Will you go with them? Will you be deceived by them? Or will you stand firm for the word of God and reject the views and the notions of these Canaanites? Just like what Paul is saying, those who advanced false notions and lies, they were a test, they were a means of proving who was genuine and who wasn't amongst the Corinthians. One other point I make. Here then is a solemn call to faithfulness to God and his word. God's people will ever be faced with this choice. Even amongst us there will rise up voices that say, let's do this, let's try this, let's go down this road. And a decision has to be made. No, will say the genuine believer, no, that's not what the Bible teaches us. You may say, oh, well, it's not really that important what it is I'm suggesting. I'm not saying that we're going to abandon the Ten Commandments. I'm just suggesting this little change. Surely there's no harm in it. The genuine believer will say, no, I'm not deviating one inch from God's truth. The witness of God in this country depends upon those who will say that. You young people, I want you to take this into your hearts and into your minds. The future of God's work depends upon you saying no to any innovation, any suggested alteration of the old standards. You're going to meet them. No matter how diligent elders may be, deacons may be, or ministers may be, you'll still meet them. And you'll meet them within the parameters of the church. Those who would take you away from the Lord cause division. Matthew chapter 18, the verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." It can't be avoided. We're living in a world that hates the gospel. And it's going to be trying to do everything to hinder us and offend us. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. The offense may cause heartache and sorrow to the child of God, but that's nothing compared to what the offender will suffer when the day of judgment comes. The one who would cause division, the one who would split a church or split the unity of the people of God. He's doing the work of the devil, and he will pay the price. Woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, in the verses 1 and 2, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily," you know what that word means? Privately, quietly. They'll not take out any adverts. They'll not make any big announcements that they're going to teach error. No, sneaking into God's people, they'll begin like the man we read about in the parable of the tares, the enemy. He sowed them at night, like those that Jude speaks of, who crept in unawares. Same spirit, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What's the result of division? Well, there are many, but look at the one that's highlighted here. When division comes, the way of truth shall be spoken of in an evil fashion. Those who stand up for God and try to hold on to the old path, they'll be slandered. They'll be called every name possible. They'll be vilified. The way of truth is evil spoken of. That's what happens when divisions come. As come they must. Those who cause division must be shunned. Those who cause division must be dealt with by the church of God. You can't tolerate them. God doesn't want you to put up with them. First verse and only verse I was going to look at is found in Romans chapter 16. It's one we used the other Sabbath evening. Romans chapter 16, the verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren," and please notice every word. "Oh, I say to you young people again, when you're reading your Bible, look carefully at every word. Look carefully at every word. You are not looking at some work of fiction where authors employ all sorts of words to grasp and take hold of your imagination and carry you along with the story. That's not what God engages in. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is inspired. And it's there to convey specifically a truth. Look at what it said. "Now I beseech you." This is something Paul was heart burdened about. He was beseeching them. You can almost see the great man on his knees begging them. "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. That is the responsibility of the eldership of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the responsibility. Watching out for that which is going to harm the church. Preaching against it. And where there is an incident involving someone who's causing division, then they must be dealt with. They must be dealt with. They must be avoided. I'm going back to Galatians 5. Amputate. The church has never really disciplined correctly. It is never disciplined as it should. Because it's always looked upon at that when you exercise discipline, oh, you've been very harsh. And ministers shy away from it. Elders shy away from it. Do we say to surgeons who take the scalpel and cut up the body, do we say to them, oh, you've been very unkind, that is it really necessary to do that? Do we? No, we don't. We're thankful. For we know that such surgery will, we trust and pray in the mercy of God, will bring about healing. The church that doesn't exercise the discipline that Paul here is saying we should, the avoiding, the removing of those who cause division, that church will only get sicker and sicker and die. No, we have to do what's right. We have to obey God. Obeying God, even in these difficult things, is always the best way, and it will bring peace and comfort and blessing to the people of God. Divisions, then? Well, God in His wonderful mercy even uses them to promote good. May you always get on the right side of divisions and never have any sympathy with those who would seek to lead men away from the cause of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word through our hearts this evening, for His name's sake.